Please turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. Then we're going to skip down to verses 19 through 25. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. Christ's sacrifice once for all. For since the law was but a shadow of the good things to come, instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered each year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, they would not have ceased to be offered, since the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sins. But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Then jumping down to verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, we have by the new and living way that he opened up through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. Let me reread verse 28. By the new and living way that he opened us up through us, for us, through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and to good works, not neglecting to meet one another, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Focus is going to be especially on verse 28 and 29, but we're going to be going through this passage together. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, if I were to ask any of you here this question, I think you might give an answer that's not what most people would think. If I were to ask you, is the evangelical church growing today? I think most of you would say, in North America, it's not. You might think, well, look at the status of the church. Look at the way churches are closing in Canada, in the States. Certainly, the numbers are not going up. Recently, I was listening to an interview with a man by the name of Ryan Burge, and he's done some studies on this, and he basically has said the opposite is true. In name, evangelicals, those who identify as evangelicals, they are not in decline. They're actually growing in number. Those who would check that box, they think that they are evangelical Christians. But the reality is, for most of them, they don't identify with Jesus Christ. They don't go to church. They're not regularly involved in any kind of Christian activity. Yet at the same time, they say that they are evangelical Christians. In this, Ryan Burge, he's written a book called The Nuns, the nothing in particular group of individuals that today don't believe anything. The name of his book is called The Nuns, Where They Come From, Who They Are, and Where They Are Going. And he says that up in statistics, it says that 21% An increase of 21%, especially of young people, do not identify with the church at all. They don't identify as atheists, they don't identify as agnostics, they don't identify as anything. So it's interesting that even though the name evangelical is more popular, even though in theory evangelicals are growing in number in Canada and the States, the reality is most people today are not going to church. I read some statistics this week that about 15 million people are going to church now over 3 years ago in Canada and the States. So brothers and sisters, we see kind of this identity crisis going on. We see that many don't really know what it means to be a Christian, and certainly we see the effect of secularism in our society. Many people really don't know who they are, and many of them have simply given up on going to church. Now this morning, our passage speaks about the importance of worshiping together. This well-known verse, let us consider how to stir one another up in love and good works, and not neglect to meet together as is the habit of some. And the question that I want to look at with you this morning is this: why is coming together as God's people so important? Is it really necessary? We're going to see two things together. First of all, why the Christian needs to worship God, why it is essential for him. And then secondly, the blessing of being a part of a local church. So why the Christian needs to worship God, and then the blessing of being a part of a local church. And brothers and sisters, when we go back to the beginning of this chapter, we see the discussion is the place of animal sacrifices in the Old Testament. Now you may know that this book of Hebrews is a book that it explains the relationship between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The relationship between the sacrificial system and the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And we read there in verse 1 that the law was but a shadow of the good things to come. It says, instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Verse 4 then says, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. So what the author of Hebrews is trying to do is explain to the church this relationship between Jesus Christ and the sacrificial system. And what he says is that this, precisely what they were trying to accomplish in the Old Testament, Jesus Christ has done on the cross in the New Testament. He has paid the price for our sins, your sins and mine. And children, you know that in the Old Testament, they would continually offer these sacrifices. They would have to collect animals, wouldn't they? They would regularly sacrifice these animals. That was part of the sacrificial system. But what here is explained so clearly is that the people of God were looking forward to what Christ would do on the cross, even though they didn't fully understand it. But they knew that a Savior was coming who would save his people from their sins. Here it's explained what a wonderful thing that is, that Jesus has paid the price, that Jesus has taken away our sin once and for all. Then when we go to verse 19, we see the result of what this does in the Christian's life. We see the result of what it does when the Christian comes into the presence of the Lord. It says there that we have boldness to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Again, children, you remember what happened in the Holy of Holies. That was a very special place that the high priest could go into only once a year. It was an inner sanctuary. It was a special place. Brothers and sisters, What happened when Jesus Christ died on the cross? Well, we know that when Jesus Christ was on the cross, it says there that that veil was rent from top to bottom. So everyone could then see inside a place that was formerly something for the eyes of the high priest alone. Now we can go into the very presence of God with confidence. And brothers and sisters, this is the amazing thing about our relationship with God. We don't need to be afraid to go into His presence. We don't need to be timid. We don't need to wonder if God will accept us. We know that He will. We know that Christ has paid the price for our sins. And this is the reason that we worship as God's people. Because we need to worship. We can see that it's in our DNA. If Jesus Christ has forgiven us, truly forgiven us, if we are now new creations in Jesus Christ, the old has passed away and the new has become reality. If God has done all of these things for us, brothers and sisters, of course we're going to want to come into His presence on Sundays, aren't we? We're going to desire to feel His nearness. We want to praise Him for all that He has done for us. We want to be close to the God that we love. This is a God-given desire. When we sing, we're singing from the bottom of our hearts. We're singing about the things that are most important to us. These are not just truths, generally cold truths that we don't really understand or aren't important to us. No, these are the most wonderful truths that we can sing about. God puts that desire in our heart. God has begun that work in us, and He will continue to do that work in us. Now, maybe some of you have gone to a concert with a favorite group of yours. Maybe you've been in a huge stadium where 50,000 people are singing together. It's kind of an amazing experience when you get that many people singing together. But brothers and sisters, if you are at a Coldplay concert or a Justin Bieber concert, it's very different than singing together as the Church of Jesus Christ. Because we have been called by the Almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing God to be here today to gather. And we are here to express to this God who has done everything for us, we are here to express our love and appreciation for what He has done. And when you look at the Psalms, Psalm 100, as we sang, as we read this morning to begin, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Enter His presence with thanksgiving. That's what we want to do on Sunday mornings, isn't it? Psalm 84, my soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My flesh and my heart cry out to the living God. Brothers and sisters, this is the cry of our heart. This is in our DNA. This is who we are. We are children of the King. We are children of the Almighty God who come into His presence to sing praise to Him. And this is what our passage says so beautifully, doesn't it? It says, since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. So as we come to church on Sundays, this is something we should never lose sight of. There are many things that can happen to us that can tend to turn us away from worship over time. Sometimes we use the phrase, familiarity breeds contempt. You know, sometimes that can happen in the church. We have the attitude, well, I've been there, I've done that. We can go to church sometimes even reluctantly. Sometimes we go out of a duty or obligation, but we really don't have a heart to be there. Sometimes we can come even with a critical attitude facing or focusing rather on the small things, the things that aren't done or aren't said by the pastor. But when we come to church on Sundays, let's not forget that we are coming to meet as God's people, entering His presence. The thing that we can never forget is that we are coming to meet this all-powerful and all-knowing, the Creator of the universe. He is the one who is inviting us here. To hear His word explained, to be preached faithfully, to sing together as a church. This is, first of all, the reason that we worship, because we desire to come into God's presence because of the work of Christ in our lives, that wonderful work. The second thing I want to see with you from our passage is the purpose that God has for us to meet together as His people, and specifically the benefits of coming together as a church. And it says here in verse 20, it says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful." It says, verse 29, it says, "Let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some." Now, the idea here, brothers and sisters, is that every Christian has a desire not to shipwreck. We want to hold fast, don't we? We don't want to lose sight of what is important in our life. We want to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. And every true believer feels that way, doesn't he? He wants to run the race with perseverance. He doesn't want to throw in the towel. He doesn't want to shipwreck. Hebrews chapter 2 speaks of it a little bit differently. It says, "Therefore we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away." I don't know how many of you have ever been in a boat that has lost power. You might be suddenly going along and your motor's running fine, and then you lose power. You're suddenly not in control of your destiny. On a windy day, you can be taken for kilometers in a very short amount of time. Chapter 2, the warning is, don't drift. Chapter 10, it's saying the same thing. It's saying, don't waver in your faith. And brothers and sisters, when we think of this calling to keep our eyes on Christ, not to drift away, not to waver in our faith, we need to understand that God is faithful and He tangibly provides a structure for us to fit into so that we can continue to be faithful. God doesn't talk in abstracts. He doesn't leave us on our own. But He gives us others to help us in living for Him. And this is so important for us to understand. Verse 24 in the NIV says it a little clearer. It says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds." Now, as one becomes a part of the church, What happens? Well, some of you here are new. I hope this is a reality for you. But the people that sit around you, the people that are by your side, are not just people who have shown up to the same church building. These are people that you become intimately involved with. These are people that you begin to care about. These are people that become your friends. A lot of times today we talk about friendship in a rather superficial way. Everybody's got friends, but nobody seems to have real ones. Studies done on this say that very few people actually have close, intimate friends today. Lots of acquaintances, but few friends. But brothers and sisters, we need to understand that the church is to be a place where true friendships are built, where true relationships happen. Not just people that are sitting beside you in church that you talk to superficially, but there's an intimacy here that's being referred to. And as we look at what it says here, it says how to consider one another, how to stir one another up into through one another to love and good works. What does it mean? Well, brothers and sisters, it means that you have to have a real relationship with someone in order to do that. This concept of the family of God is really such a beautiful one. The Christian wants the best for his brother. He wants to see him grow. And anybody who's in a blood relationship, in a functional family, knows that a brother or sister is someone who comes alongside you. Yes, at times there will be disagreements. Yes, there will be difficulties. But family is family. Blood runs thick. The idea here is that the church is to be such a healthy unit, such a healthy organism, that we have real interaction with one another. Where you actually have people speaking into your life. People who are tight with you. Many of you know that in my work as missions coordinator, I visit church plants. One of the things that I want to see, one of the most important things, is what happens before and after church. Do people actually like to be there, number one? And number two, are they interacting with each other in a real way? Are there friendships being formed? One of the things that I heard often in Mexico was that people would say about the church there, the church plant there, that they would say, "You care about people. When I walk through the door, I understand what it means to be a part of the family." This is why it's so important to come to church on Sundays. One of the things that we're seeing more and more is that people want to do online church. Maybe there are some who are listening right now that are thinking that that's a better option. Let me say to you, it's important to be with people. It's important to see each other, to greet each other physically. Verse 24 says, we're not to neglect these things. They're essential for the church of Jesus Christ. It's essential to form these friendships. It's essential to exhort one another. What does it mean when it says that? It means that someone is actually watching your spiritual back. They actually care enough about you to know you intimately and that they speak into your life in a corrective way. What happens when a person speaks into your life and they don't really know you? Well, sometimes we can be self-defensive. Sometimes we're going to say, "Well, who are you to speak to me about that? You don't even know me." But brothers and sisters, when the Church of Jesus Christ is gathering together, when it is speaking into each other's lives, when it is holding each other accountable, what a beautiful thing that is. One commentator said of this verse, it says, one of the first indications of a lack of love towards God is for a Christian to stay away from worship services. He forsakes the communal obligations of attending these meetings and displays the symptoms of selfishness and self-centeredness. I don't know about you, but I've had many people say to me, look, I don't need the church. I can worship God in the way that I choose. I'm good on my own. I heard that before COVID. I hear that even more now. But what happens when we stop going to church? Well, a number of things. First of all, we stop hearing the exhortation of God's word. God speaks to us faithfully when we have preachers who are dedicated to explaining these words of truth. Preach the word was the exhortation to Timothy. Praise the Lord, we have faithful men who are preaching. Secondly, we don't have the benefit of worshiping as God's people. Singing, brothers and sisters, singing with all of our heart is something so essential for the Christian. It's edifying to the soul. We don't have that benefit when we don't go to church. Thirdly, we remove ourselves from the God-given protection of being part of this body. As I mentioned at the outset, it's God has not created us to live in isolation. But when we step outside of God's covenant people, we have no one watching our back. Openly rejecting the place of God's security and safeguard for us and our family is a serious thing. So let me encourage you this morning, be a part of the church. Embrace your identity in this local body. You know, sometimes it's easy, especially in a big church, to kind of sit on the outside, to come on Sundays and listen to the preaching, enjoy the worship, but not really get involved in the intimate, ongoing, day-to-day part of the church. One pastor that I had in seminary, he said, the elect of the elect are the ones that really help from week to week. It was more of a joke than anything else, but there was a certain truth to it. Well, let me say to you this morning, be a part of that group. Be an active part of this particular body. The more that you give, the more that you are involved, the more that you participate, the more you will be blessed. Be a part, be an active part in the church. It says one more thing I want to point out before we close. On Sundays, when we do not come together as God's people, we're forgetting something very important. And what is that? It says at the very end, verse 25, it says, don't neglect to meet together, encourage one another, but all the more as you see the day approaching. What is being said here is that every Sunday really is a reminder for us as the church of what we will experience in the future. We know that the Lord is preparing a place for each one of us. In my Father's house are many mansions. And brothers and sisters, as we worship together on Sundays, that is what we are reminded of. We're reminded of what we are looking forward to when we get to go to be with our Lord and Savior, and we are able to rejoice with Him perfectly. We don't know when that day will be, when He comes to us or when we go to Him. But we need to remember that that day is coming, and every Sunday is a foretaste of what Jesus Christ, what it will be to be with Jesus Christ in person, face to face. What a blessing, what a joy it is to know that that's where we are going, that we can be absolutely sure that Jesus will come again. And this is why Sundays are so essential for the Christian, because it's a day to remember these things. It's a day to understand the truths of God's Word again. It's a day to draw together as God's people and be reminded of the wonderful words of life. So, brothers and sisters, remember that that day is coming. Remember that Jesus coming is something that we can be assured of, something that we can look forward to, and something that we are rejoicing in and celebrating each Sunday. So, brothers and sisters, don't neglect the calling that you have been given, but come boldly, come joyfully, knowing that you are going to meet your Savior. Encourage one another from week to week. Grow in your relationships. Be a part, an active part of this local body. And above all, look forward to that day when Jesus comes again. What a beautiful thing that is. And brothers and sisters, we don't know how that's going to look for any one of us. Our prayer is that Jesus comes soon, especially as we look around, we see the things that are going on in the world, but Lord, the Lord knows. He will call all of His own to Himself. Look forward to that day, rejoice in that day, because it is drawing near. Let's give thanks to the Lord for this calling. Let's rejoice in His work in our life. Let's look forward to this day together as a church. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you, we praise you for this passage, Lord, that reminds us, Lord, of the great privilege we have as your people to worship you. Lord, that we, as your people, are not to neglect coming together as a church. And Father, we pray that, Lord, we would grow in our love for you. And Father, that we would grow in relationship to one another. And Father, we pray that this local body, Lord, that we would just enjoy coming together each Sunday. That we would be encouraged and edified. But Lord, that we would be strengthened in our faith. That we would stir one another up to do more for the cause of Christ our Savior. And Lord, we pray that we would look forward to that day when Jesus comes again. And Lord, we can see you face to face in perfection without our sinfulness. Lord, without our imperfection. And Lord, that we would rejoice around your throne with the thousands upon thousands of saints that have gone before us. Help us to look forward to that day, we pray. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.